From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 19th day of July, 2022. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. We'll get an update from the state statisticians in Illinois, Iowa, and Minnesota on the progress of crops in their regions. And we'll hear all about the agricultural energies from Dave Chatterton at Strategic Farm Marketing. As we close out our time together, Don Day will be here from Day Weather to discuss the forecast, all on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
A September corn for the day settled at $5.96¾. That was down 15.5 cents. December, $5.95¼, 15.5 lower. New crop in the March, down 15 at $6.50½. August soybeans, $14.77¼, 20 cents lower. September down 21¼ at $13.75½. And November beans 22 lower at $13.58¼. Bean meal up 50 cents for the day. The bean oil $1.31 lower on the afternoon. Soft red winter wheat in the September contract down a half at $8.12¼. The hard red at $8.69¼, 4¾ cents lower. Live cattle futures in Chicago at $141.10, up 50. The feeders up $2.07½ at $178.75 on their settlement price. And lean hogs $94.50 per 100 pounds. 12.5 cents higher. Crude oil at $100.73 a barrel, up $1.31. Diesel fuel $0.09 lower at $3.56¢. And the wholesale price of gasoline today up 4.6¢ at $3.16¢ for the afternoon. Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, now joins us on this turnaround Tuesday. Wayne, yesterday was an up day. Today was not. What happened in the market? And thanks for being with us.
Well, it's my day to be on the radio. I think that always is an unlucky thing, but not for me. But anyhow, like you say, first off, the crop ratings come in better than expected. Corn was only down 1%. Beans were unchanged. That number one. Number two, we looked and the open interest dropped. We did see some fun buying yesterday, but at the end of the day, the open interest was down, so it looked like it was, short covering rather than buying that way. So it, just for some people getting out. But anyhow, then the moisture, the weather forecast changed a little bit, and the 7-day added moisture to the eastern Midwest. And with the forecast being a little wetter, with the dollar being a little higher, and everything, why we started slipping here early this morning.
What are conditions like around your area there in Crawfordsville, Indiana?
You know, the corn looks really great. The beans look really great for here right now. We are a little bit concerned of this part of the corn that still has to pollinate and some of this over 100 degree temperature, 105, heat index and like that. That's not the best opportunity. We could see some pollen being killed as it goes on here, and we might not see good pollination on some of the stuff that happens this week. But if we can turn it around by the weekend, overall, we're still in fairly decent shape. But if you go up away from here, more a little northeast of here, stuff isn't looking very good, and the rain's been a lot shorter there than we have. We got 5 to 7 tenths over the weekend, but you go just a little bit south of us here, they got up over 2 inches. So it's a very varied and just immediate little areas as you little pockets of good and badness, I guess, as we go around as far as the moisture's been.
On the world front, are there things that you're watching beyond the Ukraine war, inflation, China, South America? Oh, I guess there are things you're watching. Probably are there.
there's a lot of stuff going on with all that. The idea of, are we going to get this corridor opened up? Are they going to get some shipping done? One of the big things that was talked about today was the Nord Stream pipeline. Are they going to restart it after its maintenance like that? Along the way, the strength of the ruble, not just the strength of the dollar, but the strength of the ruble has come up and raised prices that way. Egypt, we're never included in a wheat tender. They put it out there and then they canceled it and said they're going to come back and do some private tenders here after this. But the U.S. was included the first time in many years on that. So, and crude oil, watching what it's doing and seeing, doesn't look like the Saudis are going to continue to pump any more for us, but you know, so we did see a little up in the crude oil today. We're up about $1.49 as we speak now.
Do we need to be concerned about the Chinese economy very much?
Oh my gosh, yes. You know, the I think that they said that there's quite a number of them still in lockdown over there. Number one, in their house, their economy slowing. Copper is down hard because of all of that and looking on. And when they're sequestered at home like that, they're not eating as much. They're not going out and doing, they aren't going and producing and using the goods that way, like the copper and whatever, for manufacturing. And we just haven't announced any sales to China for like 6 or 7 weeks. And that is a big deal because we thought we'd be selling them a lot more at this point in time. And our carryout continues to grow as we don't see any shipments going to them.
Hey, thank you. We'll talk with you on Thursday for Commodity Week.
Looking forward to it, Todd.
That is Wayne Nelson. He is with L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Yesterday, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows as of early Monday, 37% of the corn crop around the nation was silking. The rolling five-year average is 48%. 6% of that crop has now entered the dough stage. 7% is the five-year average. And the condition of the crop is said to be 51% good and 13% excellent for a total of 64%. That is just about the same as last week, actually. Slightly better when it was 52 and 12, respectively, for the same good to excellent category total, but just slightly better in excellent than it was the previous week. Soybeans now at 48% blooming, 55% is the five-year average, 14% of the crop is setting pods, 19% the five-year average, and the good to excellent rating at 61% is down 1 percentage point in total from the previous week. The winter wheat harvest is now 70% complete, 71% is the rolling five-year average. Here are updates from the statisticians in Minnesota, Illinois, and Iowa.
This is Melissa Bond, statistical assistant for the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office with the weekly crop progress and condition report. Fieldwork included cutting hay and starting fungicide applications. Topsoil moisture condition rated 6% very short, 24% short, 66% adequate, and 4% surplus. Corn silking or beyond was 31%, 4 days behind both last year and the five-year average. Scattered reports throughout the state showed 1% of the corn crop reached the dough stage. Corn condition rating was 81% good to excellent. 55% of soybeans were blooming, 6 days behind last year and 2 days behind average. 13% of the soybean crop was setting pods, 1 week behind last year and 3 days behind the five-year average. Iowa's soybean condition rating was 78% good to excellent. Pasture condition rated 57% good to excellent. Livestock were stressed due to above average heat and humidity, with pink eye and cattle still an issue. For the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office, this is Melissa Bond.
This is Mark Schleusener, Illinois State Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Rainfall was near average last week and temperatures were just slightly below normal. Rainfall averaged 0.68 inches across the prairie state and temperatures averaged 75.3 degrees, 1 degree below normal. There was an average of 5.1 days suitable for fieldwork across Illinois last week, and topsoil moisture was reported as 11% very short, 17 short, 67 adequate, and 5% surplus as of Sunday. 60% of corn acres are now silking in Illinois. That compares to 73% 1 year ago and 64% for the five-year average. 6% of corn acres have reached the dough stage. The condition of the Illinois corn crop improved from last week and was rated 8% very poor to poor, 22% fair, and 70% good to excellent. Soybeans are now blooming on 41% of acres, compared to 63% last year and 55% normally. 8% of acres are setting pods. Soybean conditions were rated 11% very poor to poor, 27% fair, and 62% good to excellent. Wheat harvest is 96% finished, compared to 97% 1 year ago and 96 for the five-year average. In other crops, the second cutting of alfalfa hay is 78% finished, compared to 74 normally, and the third cutting of alfalfa hay is just underway for some producers. Finally, pasture conditions were rated 18% very poor to poor, 29% fair, and 53% good to excellent. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, State Statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with a weekly crop progress and condition report. Favorable weather conditions allowed farmers 5.9 days suitable for fieldwork during the week. Topsoil moisture supplies rated 5% very short, 19% short, 69% adequate, and 7% surplus. Subsoil moisture supplies rated 3% very short, 14% short, 75% adequate, and 8% surplus. Corn was at 18% silking, about 1 week behind last year and the five-year average. Corn condition was 1% very poor, 4% poor, 27% fair, 56% good, and 12% excellent. Soybeans blooming or beyond reached 46%. Soybeans setting pods reached 10%. That's 7 days behind last year and 3 days behind the five-year average. Soybean condition was 1% very poor, 4% poor, 33% fair, 53% good, and 9% excellent. Spring wheat was 97% jointing, 71% headed, and 11% coloring. Lastly, pasture condition was rated at 2% very poor, 6% poor, 22% fair, 56% good, and 14% excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Midwest. Don't forget that you can always find our programming online at willag.org or look it up in your favorite podcast application, places like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. Now, let's turn our attention to the agricultural energy markets. Dave Chatterton joins us from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign. Hi, Dave. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, Todd. Good to be with you as always.
Well, let's talk about some things that are impacting the marketplace or the thoughts in the marketplace. First, the price of oil, diesel, and even fertilizer seems to be rolling back some.
Yeah, Todd, I guess we look at the energy complex a little bit similar to, or much like maybe what we've seen in the grain complex here of late, and a pretty dramatic shift in sentiment here over the last, let's say, 4 to 5 weeks, and particularly in regard to recession, rate hikes, inflation, and the different things that have, up until this point, driven money into the commodity complex, but of late have kind of pulled those funds back out or are back to the sidelines. So if we look at that in terms of pricing, crude oil prices down about $25 a barrel since their mid-June peak here in just the last 4 weeks. Gasoline and diesel fuel futures down almost $1 a gallon each on that same rollback here. And then fertilizer prices, as you mentioned here in Illinois, we're seeing a little bit of a follow-through there as well. Anhydrous prices are now, I'm going to say, in central Illinois, $1,100, maybe $1,175 a ton. That's down $150 from last week and certainly a step down from the spring highs that we had. Urea is around $900. Same kind of a deal. We're seeing Illinois farm diesel prices in that mid 480 range, 480, 485. That's down about 40 cents from the previous week, but certainly well below those, you know, $5 or $5.50 plus peaks that we saw here a few weeks ago. So things have improved, although there's still, you know, we have a ways to go. I think, you know, there was a headline today out, Todd, about the national average retail gasoline price dipping below $4.50 for the first time in 2 months. And it's kind of sad that we see that as a little bit of a victory. That price is still, you know, we've gained 37% just in 2022. That's 42% above where it was a year ago at this time. So we've seen a little bit of relief here, but prices are still high by historical measures, I guess, is the way to look at that.
On that note, inflation remains. What do you think about the macroeconomics?
Yeah, I mean, you know, as I said in the opening here, certainly a big shift in what's happened here. And when we look at particularly, you know, again, energy very similar to grains, we've seen a big rollback in the fund positions here as they, I think, are more worried about the global macroeconomic situation and what that means for demand for commodities going forward. That inflation play in the commodity sense, very much of a dual-edged sword. It's a good thing when we're talking about it initially and it's driving prices higher and we're seeing new funds come in and try and use commodities as a hedge against inflation. But as soon as that inflation gets to a point where it starts to turn demand down and has some economic repercussion, we go back the other way. And it feels like we're tipping that way just a little bit. Funds have shed, you know, 30 to 35% of their length that we've had here just really in the last, same 4 to 6 weeks that we're looking at here. And in doing so, you know, the great, I call it the inflation exit, or basically this recessionary sentiment has really taken hold. The question is that inflation exit over? Is money coming back in, or is there more to bleed back out? And, you know, we haven't answered that question yet, but I think the action over the last couple of days here, certainly we've got a lot of geopolitical things going on in oil as well that we can talk about. But I think the inflation play looks like it's on the sidelines for now, and we're going to have a more fundamental reason for these funds to come, or for this capital to come back into the market and drive prices significantly higher.
One of those geopolitical issues, actually two of them, remain because of the Russia-Ukraine war. The natural gas pipelines that run from Russia through Ukraine, of course, feeding Germany and Western Europe, and then the grain export corridor negotiations that continue this week from last week. What difference do each of those make?
Well, I think it creates a degree of uncertainty. In the middle of all that, we've got an ECB, a central bank meeting on Friday of this week, and we've got the Fed meeting on the 28th next week, the U.S. Fed talking about, you know, the next interest rate hike. So that creates a large degree of, I guess, uncertainty or potential for surprises around the marketplace, which I think keeps money on the sidelines here to a certain degree, Todd. When we look at what's going on with the pipeline situation, that's the NORAD pipeline, and it went down for 10 days for scheduled maintenance, and coming on the back of that, Gazprom, or the Russian suppliers, have now declared force majeure for basically what they call just unusual circumstances. So when and if that gas is going to turn back on is a big question in Europe, and how they're going to build their winter supplies, etc. The, you know, saga over this export corridor, and they won't, it'll start quickly, it'll start later, you know, a lot of moving pieces in that. There are more meetings this week between Turkey, Russia, Ukraine, and the UN representatives, all kind of on different things. Iran is part of that negotiation. The export corridor is part of that negotiation. There was indications that we would have an agreement signed. You know, whether or not we'll get that, I think we're going to have to wait and see. But certainly, like I said, that degree of uncertainty here is not something that's attracting new money into the marketplace at this particular point.
That's overseas. What about domestically as it relates to our fuel inventories?
Yeah, we've seen some improvement here, Todd, and I think if you want to frame it up in the bigger picture without talking a lot of specifics, what we've seen is we have seen U.S. production, you know, start to increase in terms of crude oil. We were at about 12.1 million barrels a day of domestic crude oil production last week. That was 11.4 million at this time last year, so that's up, you know, 6%. We are creeping higher. Inventories still remain below what we would call average levels. They've improved a little bit in the crude and in the gasoline sense, but not too much in the distillate sense. So crude oil supplies right now about 9% below the 5-year average. Gasoline supplies in the U.S. about 6% below the 5-year average, but diesel fuel or distillates 22%, and we're having a big problem, I guess, solving that issue, and it really comes down to exports and refinery utilization here. We can make a little bit more crude, but we can't get a lot more through our domestic refineries. They're running at about 95% capacity. That's about the highest that we've seen over the last 3 to 5 year period. 94-95% seems to be the top end. We got as low as 78% during 2020. We're also seeing that, you know, not only are the SPR releases, but a lot of this additional production is getting exported. Our exports of gasoline and diesel fuel and refined products are really right at their historical highs, and this is the effort to supply Europe and plug that hole left by production shortfalls and trade policies towards the Russian product. So we're getting a little bit better, but solving this situation, I guess the question is, how low is low in terms of diesel fuel for on the farm? And I think we have a little bit of downside potential here, but certainly don't expect a huge drop in prices here. I think inventory is going to remain tight the remainder of the summer and at least to start the winter here, Todd.
And finally, turn your attention to China for me. What issues do you see there?
Well, I think when you look at China, I mean, basically it's the 800-pound gorilla in the room in terms of not only grain or energy demand, but also in terms of just setting the tone, you know, globally for the economy. And when we look at China's economy, the news has not been good. Their GDP last quarter, slowest growth since COVID started. We're seeing some issues around their grain imports, you know, lagging year-ago levels. We're seeing that same thing with energy. And, of course, this zero-COVID policy, they have not chosen to change that. that. We are just kind of coming out of some reopenings around the Shanghai and in other parts of the country, and now their numbers are starting to go back up. And so there's certainly a concern there that their demand is going to continue to lag because of these shutdowns and the way that the that their economy has been handled to this point. So, you know, a little healing to do by there, but certainly that's part of this overall recessionary sentiment that's worked its way into our marketplace.
Thank you very much, Dave.
Thank you, Todd.
Dave Chatterton is with Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, Illinois. Let's check the weather forecast now with Don Day. He's a day weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Hi, Don. How are things in your part of the world today?
Well, been a little toasty. A lot of record high temperatures yesterday across the Western High Plains and parts of the Northern Plains and Central Plains. But a cool front coming out of Canada is going to make things just a hair cooler.
Well, a hair cooler, but still warm, I take it. And what does that do across the whole of the Corn Belt? Does it spread into the Corn Belt over the next several days?
Well, we're going to see the focus of the heat remaining kind of where it's been. It is going to get into the Western Corn Belt for sure. This will be especially true. We're going to see this more so. We're seeing some of it today, and we're going to see some more of it as we work our way into tomorrow. But the center of the heat is going to continue to really have its focus from South Dakota south through Texas. So that would include Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas, getting into that northwest Corn Belt, parts of Minnesota, parts of central and areas of western Iowa. Those are the areas where the temperatures relative to average are going to be the hottest.
And then do they get relief at some point?
Well, the good news is I do see a trend that gets started late this weekend. So this is going to be probably that Sunday, Monday time frame. We're seeing some really subtle changes in the way the high pressure is going to be over the lower 48 states over the next couple of weeks. For another week, it's going to be centered in the central and western areas of the United States. And then maybe as it looks towards the end of July into early August, we're going to see two centers of high pressure, one more towards the Great Basin, parts of the Pacific Northwest, then another one towards the southeastern United States. And what that'll do is make the middle of the country not as hot. I don't want to say it's going to be dramatically cooler, but it's not going to be as hot for the last part of July and into early August. So I do see some relief. I do think that Texas and Oklahoma are going to be the areas hardest to get that cooling trend to get into, but those northern areas, and that includes the Corn Belt as well, we'll see some temperatures that won't be as warm. And that also will bring some better chances of rain.
That was my next question, was how do having two highs in place in the Western Corn Belt affect rainfall in the Midwest?
Well, we're still going to see that moisture pipeline come out of the southwest United States, that North American monsoon. We continue to see rains in Arizona, parts of Utah and New Mexico and Colorado. While that moisture, at least initially, is going to have a hard time getting eastward, this readjustment of things will allow late this weekend and next week thunderstorm and shower activity to pick up again. We call that sort of that ring of fire. That does look like it's going to come back starting next week.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's Don Day. He's with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joined us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online, listen to us on demand anytime you'd like at willag.org, or check us out in your favorite podcast applications, places like Apple Podcast, Spotify, and Google Podcast. The theme music for the Closing Market Report is produced, performed, and courtesy of Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.